Oh, Father, as we open your word again, we are so privileged and blessed to know that you've revealed yourself to us in so many ways, especially through this written word, and can't just help but shout out a praise, a doxology, a lifting up of you and attributing the worth to your name that you deserve. And I just ask, Lord Jesus, that today will be a day that we honor you, that we worship you with our hearts and our minds and our actions and our words, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Reviewing this prayer again, we're still in Ephesians chapter 3. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, we would be on page 1785 and then quickly on 1786. Ephesians 3, and for this reason, we've talked about that a lot. What reason? Well, it's the reason that, you know, God wants to dwell in His people. Do you know that God wants to dwell in His church? That's something to pause about and contemplate and meditate on. God in us, the hope of glory. And so we recognize for this reason, because God wants to dwell within us, Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, His unending, indescribable riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. It's a group thing. It's God's church having power together to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And that's just, that's a crazy thing for Paul to be asking, and yet he believes that it's possible. And he wouldn't be asking us unless he knew that had taken place in his life and in the people around him. And as he's watching God do the things that God does, he breaks out into praise. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I didn't advance it because the next verse isn't there.
Oh.
It's just in your Bible if you're following along. So, here's Paul. He's praying, and in the midst of his prayer, he's like, wow, God, I have to remember that this is all for your glory. As you're working through your church, and even though back in verse 10, of chapter 3 here, it says that his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. It's like angels in the heavenlies, principalities, people that angels that are serving God and angels that are serving Satan are all recognizing the power of God as they look at what God's doing in His church. If you think about taking broken vessels and making them something beautiful, and the angels are looking and saying, yeah, I know that guy didn't do that on his own. He didn't pull himself up by his own bootstraps. That was God. That's God's work. I recognize God's fingerprints on him. I recognize God's work in him. I recognize Holy Spirit indwelling and empowering him and them and watching the church change. And it's like that's the kind of power that's going on here. So I want to break this down a little bit. Now, it's a connecting word. It's connected to all the things that have come before this prayer that we've just gone over. If you just take this verse out of context, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, okay, and it's like, okay, my imagination's pretty good. I can imagine a lot of things, but most of them, to be honest with you, most of the things I try to imagine end up being ways to benefit me or ways to make the world better, but it's like it's a lot of physical kind of, okay, what if there wasn't global warming or climate change to worry about? What if there was plenty of resources for everyone? What if starving people didn't have to starve, and if drowning people didn't have to drown? And I can think of a lot of things that I can imagine. You know, this maybe could be different. And boy, if I was God, if I ran the zoo, I'd do it this way and this way and this way. And it can come up with all kinds of things in our imagination. But this word now is saying it's attached to this prayer that he's just done. He's praying that God's people will be prepared for the indwelling of God himself, of Holy Spirit, to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And as we look at now, knowing that all of these things are possible, what are we going to be praying for? To him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, now is connected to those. And to him, who's that describing? It seems obvious to me, but maybe it's not to everyone. Who's being described here? Kathy says God. Anybody else? Is this one of those things where you're worried that you're going to get the wrong answer and the teacher will mark you wrong? Okay. No, it's pretty obvious. It's like, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Well, that's not me. It's not you. It's not anybody that we've met. It's not any of the 30 politicians running for president right now. It's not anybody that we can think of but God. It's not even a character from history that sometimes, you know, Kathy talks about, we remember sometimes things better than what they were. As you go back and you look at some of the historic figures in our country, how many of them get lifted up to the point of almost deity when you think about, oh, look at all the wonderful things they did in the history, the way we share it sometimes, you'd think that, boy, you know, George Washington must have been perfect. And you know what? Every one of our founding fathers is a fallen sinner just like all of us. But to him who's able to do immeasurably more, that's the God we're talking about. To him, we need to know who this is referring to. And he's able. If I ask you, do you think God is able to solve all the world's problems? I think he is. Now, I think the part that we start doubting and wondering about is he going to do it? Well, there's a promise that eventually everything's going to be made right. It's like, Lord, could we please have eventually? I'm ready. He's able. Able what? He's able to do. He's a doer. He's a creator God. He's the one that says, let there be light, and there's light. And he's the one that as he's walking around in human form as Jesus, and he comes up to a funeral, and there's a dead man laying on a thing that's being hauled through town, and a crying mother, and he tells him to get up, and he gives him back to his mom. He raises the dead. He heals the lame. He gives sight to the blind. He's able to do. He's a doing God. He's always been a doing God from before creation. And he's able to do immeasurably. That's a funny word. When you were little kids, you know, somebody would try to come up with a big number, right? And, you know, 100 billion million or something, whatever. They'd throw stuff out there, and then some other smart kid would go, plus one. And then another kid would say, well, infinity. Think that he had won the argument, and plus one. There's always more. There's no end to what God can do. It's immeasurable. There's not a completion. There's not a, even though he says it is finished and it's complete for certain works, he's still able to do immeasurably more. There's never a stop to what he can do. We had a pretty good VBS this week. It was kind of fun. Kids got to hear the word. I like one of the songs that talks about that, you know, God's doing things when we can't see. those 21 children that were involved in Vacation Bible School this week, they're still somewhere. None of them are here today, but they're somewhere. I think Kathy's a little bit thankful they're not here today just for take a quick breather. And besides, there's 30 pool noodles in the annex that they'd have to compete with and other stuff that's still out there in storage. But those 21 children are someplace, and God knows where each one of them is. And I know that two of them are living with an aunt right now, and their mom is getting healthier and wants them back. And they're excited to go back. And so there may be some changes in their lives. And the things they heard this week, the things that they were able to participate in and learn, God can keep on working in their hearts and minds. You know, Holy Spirit is one of the jobs that He has. It says in Scripture that He'll remind us of everything that He's taught us. I need those reminders. I'm pretty sure kids do too. And so you're going along in life and it's like, oh, wait. When life is scary, God is good. It's a little scary to think that you're going to go back to a mom that you were taken away from because the state didn't think she was good enough to take care of you. And maybe she is now again, and maybe she's not. We don't know, but it's a little scary to check and find out. And they're hoping. When life changes, we all go through changes. We had kids from Monroe to Minnesota here this week. That was kind of fun to meet little Titus. He's a doll. Fun kid to hang out with for the last couple of weeks while he's been in town. Got to know him at the trains. Got to know him better here at Vacation Bible School. Full of energy. Willing to share.
Surviving cancer,
that's right. I had almost forgotten that. Yeah, he was one we were praying for a couple years ago. And now he's just, he's got more energy than any child deserves. And praise God for that. And it's exciting. And God can do more, immeasurably more, than all we ask or imagine. Now, my imagination is that these 21 children that got to hang out with us for Vacation Bible School are all going to meet Jesus sometime in their life. They're going to be followers of the way. They're going to be vibrant in the church. They're going to be witnesses to their family. When I hear about kids that meet Jesus when they're 5 or 6 and they start praying for their parents and then the parents get saved. And we know people like that here in Skycomish. It's kind of exciting to know that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. My imagination can go pretty good. One of the difficulties is I can imagine God doing all this, and I can imagine changes taking place in people's lives. I can imagine people coming to Christ. I can imagine Fred being excited to be here. Not this Fred, different Fred.
I am too.
Yeah. And you know what I'm saying though? And yet, is God going to do that through us? Because the rest of that verse, according to His power that is at work within us, my imagination starts stopping when I think, okay, but yeah, God's going to work through me. Yeah, okay. I know God can do it. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, but through me? Through this motley crew? Through church people? What does the world think of church people? Rightfully or wrongfully, we've religious people have gotten a bad reputation. I think some of it's well deserved, to be honest. I think some of it that I've participated in during my lifetime is not something that people should be looking at and imitating. Being religious is not what it's all about. It's having the fullness of Christ in us, of having Holy Spirit empowering us and giving us the ability. He's working within us. Can you imagine God using you to change the world? Can Can you imagine God using this little church, this little congregation, to change the world? I mean, that's, and he can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. I don't know where the shoes are going to go that were purchased from the funds from Vacation Bible School.
So we didn't give a report.
Didn't give a report on that. There's this, we don't have a copy of it here, but there's a shoe. It's a kind of a sandal thing that can be small, and then it kind of has different things that open up and makes it a little longer and bigger. And the same sandal, it's heavy duty, you know, materials. It's not going to wear out, and they last. They can last for like 20 years. Well, kids' feet grow, right? These shoes grow with them. They can adjust them so that they can be five different sizes. Okay. And they cost $20 each to get a pair of shoes like this. A lot of the kids that we were looking at in videos this week in Africa, they're walking a mile and a half, 2 miles more to school with no shoes. They're doing it in bare feet. Not because they want to have bare feet, but it's just that's what they have. And so there's an organization that's come up with this design, and they're providing shoes for $20. It's the cost of the shoe and the delivery of the shoe to families that can use them. And our little congregation, Vacation Bible School, this little town of Skykomish, it wasn't just people from church, it was people from other places in the community, donated a little bit of money here and there. And it was enough to buy 20 pair of shoes. $400 comes together for shoes from kids bringing their nickels and dimes and quarters and dollar bills and whatever, and then a few other little donations here and there. It's, I can imagine that those shoes could have an impact on some children's lives. Because if they can get to school healthier feet and more comfortable, then they're going to be able to learn better, and maybe they're going to be able to impact the world in different ways. It's more than just Skykomish. It's Africa and India and Asia and all these different places that, you know, God is working places that we don't even know, places we don't see. And I don't know all the interconnectedness. I know that as school teachers, Kathy and I worked with lots and lots of students. Haven't kept track of all of them. And yet, the time that we poured into their lives is still impacting their lives for good and bad. Hopefully more for good. That's where God can take things, and he promises that all things are going to work together for good. Mistakes and problems and things that looked like they weren't good can turn to good. I've met more than a couple people that had terrible childhoods, and they're thankful for it because it made them the adults that they are, and that they're stronger and better for it. I've known some kids that grew up in perfect homes that had everything they wanted and never had a need or a care, and they grew up to be jerks. Not all of them. Some of them grew up to be really wonderful people too, but it's like, you know what? It's not about stuff. It's not about circumstances. It's not about everything around us. It's, you know, Holy Spirit working in us, empowering us to do the work. And it's according to his power. It's not according to my power. It's not according to even the collective power of the church. And I can guarantee you, you know, two or three is better than one. You know, a strand of three cords is not easily broken. If you've got a weak rope, get two more weak ropes and then weave those three weak ropes together. You're going to have a little bit stronger rope. Might not be strong enough for what you want. Maybe you need a couple more. If we've got something that we need to do as a community, it's so much better when we're together. When we're intertwined and working together and working in the same direction. But then, according to his power, now you've got Christ working in us. And according to his power, he can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. He can do all things through us. That is at work within us. Why does he want to work within us? Why doesn't he just say, let there be peace, and there was peace? I don't understand totally. I mean, it's like God chose to use imperfect people to build his church. It's his plan. He doesn't have a second plan. There's no backup plan. This is his plan for what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. To him, to God, who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's the message today. And turn the recorder off.